your Bibles, please. Let's we're gonna look start over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the verse that I gave you a while ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read verse number 16 and 17 there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I quote it for you. I'll go ahead and look at it. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16 and 17. Everybody ready? Got your Bible open? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now notice what is there. It says the Lord himself, he's going to descend from heaven. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. Not just angels, but one. The archangel is Michael. And with the trump of God. And then what happens? First, the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then. What's next? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Why are we caught up together with them in the clouds? Because we're going on. We're going on up. Not going to stay on the earth. We're going on up. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. Why? To meet the Lord in the air. Are you ready to meet the Lord? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, that right there is called the rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible, but it means to be caught up. It means to be caught away. That's what the word rapture means, a catching away. That is what's going to happen one of these days. Somebody thinks, well, you know, that kind of stuff. I just don't believe that kind of stuff. It's not a strange thing in the Bible for people to be caught up. I'm going to show you. I can think of at least six of them right now. Six times that somebody was caught up to heaven without dying. They're just walking along alive and they're caught up. This is one of the six right here. So it's not a strange thing in the Bible. Now, to the world out there that don't believe the Bible, that don't know what the Bible says, yes, it's a strange thing. Yes, it's too much for them. They can't get it. They can't understand it. But it's a lot of things in the Bible. There's a lot more, lot of other things in the Bible that are stranger than this. It's not strange to me. I didn't have a problem with it. You see, but that's what's going to happen. That's what we're supposed to be looking for. Now, my question to you today is this. Is this going to happen before the tribulation or after the tribulation? At the end of the tribulation? Are you going to have to go through the tribulation or are you going to be caught up together with them like this before there is a what is called in the Bible the great tribulation? Which one? Where is he going to come at? Is he going to come before the tribulation or at the end? I mean, I'm sure we all agree that there's going to come a tribulation. The Bible says there'll come a time of trouble on the earth. Go back to the left a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 51, and here's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, notice the word there, mystery. It is a mystery. It's a mystery. A mystery is something that's not revealed. And he said this thing that we're talking about here, this rapture, is a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. When he says sleep, we're not all going to die. The sleep of death. We're not all going to have to die. Behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. Your body's going to be changed from this decrepit body that we live in now to a body that's immortal, incorruptible. See, that's what he's saying right there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. How fast? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised there in the next verse, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed again. He goes on there. Go over to the left again, a little bit more to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and look in verse number, we'll start reading in verse number 29. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 29, these are the words. Now what we just read there, that's Paul teaching. And by the way, listen carefully. Everybody look up here. What I just read you, 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians is a church epistle. These are things that Paul wrote to the churches, things that he wanted them to know that had not been revealed before. They had not been revealed. That's why he called it a mystery. He's telling us in these verses what's going to happen. He's telling us how to act as a church in the church age which we live here. We're going to go over here to Matthew. This is not a church epistle. There is no Baptist church over there. There is no Christian church over there in the book of Matthew for Jesus to be speaking to. Remember that. He's not talking to a bunch of Christians here when we read this. We'll read it here after a while, and you tell me who's he talking to. Verse number 29, Matthew chapter 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. So wouldn't you say there from reading that, at the end of the tribulation, this is what's going to happen. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the days that we've been talking about here in verses 1 to 29. In chapter 24, those days right there, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. In verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. We know who the Son of Man is. The Son of Man, he's called not only the Son of Man, but he's called the Son of God because he's a king. He's a man and he's God. He is the king over two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven, an earthly kingdom, and the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom. He wears both crowns. He's called the Son of Man right here. In the church epistles, it's always the Son of God. The last time the term Son of Man is used is found in Acts chapter number 7 at the stoning of Stephen. Son of Man, he said, I saw heaven open and the Son of Man was standing for Stephen. But here, it's the Son of Man, but in the church epistles, it's Son of God. So right here, and by the way, the church, a Gentile church, the sign, verse number 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of... I don't know what the sign is unless it's Jesus himself. I don't know what it is. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Remember the word tribes. Mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man. In other words, they're going to see him with their eyes coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In verse number 31, and he shall send his, notice the word angels. Angels, not the archangel. I'm trying to show you the difference between this and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. And he says here, then he will send forth his angels, not Michael the archangel, with a great sound of a trumpet. Now there's a trumpet. There is a trumpet over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now it says there he's going to gather together his elect. He didn't say they're going to be caught up. They're just going to be gathered together. Everybody see that? I'm showing you some difference there. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us today. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words and bless your people today. Help us, God, to get something from this, and we pray for the truth, that we might find the truth and see and know the truth, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got myself a note down here. Christianity is the only religion where a man or a person's God comes to live inside of him. That's the only religion. Jesus Christ comes to live in your heart, are you regenerated? Are you redeemed? Are you reconciled? Saved covers it all. The word saved covers all of that. You're regenerated, you're redeemed, you're reconciled. See, that's the life of God inside of you. A preacher of long ago said this. He said that God, Jesus Christ, did not come to make bad men good. He didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. Are you alive? Are you alive unto God? If you're saved this morning, you're alive unto God. Sometimes that life gets to where it's just a little flicker. But alive unto God, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But God came along and he shined in our hearts and brought us to life. One of these days, Jesus is going to come. We pray that it would be soon. The word rapture means to be caught up. For the saved Christian, it means to be caught up alive if it occurs today. You'd be caught up alive. You will not die. See, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is appointment for death for every person unless something happens. Unless God breaks in and does a miracle. And then you will not have to die. Unless if Jesus comes, you will not have to die. If you die before it occurs, then your body will be resurrected. You'll be given an immortal, incorruptible body. Those who call themselves Christians, we believe that there's several positions that a person can take on what we're talking about here, the rapture. There are even Christians who believe in, they call themselves Christians, who believe in no rapture. They believe in no rapture. Then there are those who believe in what is called a post-tribulation rapture. In other words, Jesus will come at the end of the tribulation period and the dead will be raised up and all that. In other words, when Jesus comes down to the earth, then they will be raised up. But then there are those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, before the tribulation. Now, almost everybody believes they're premillennial. They believe that he will come before the millennial kingdom. We're not talking about the millennium today. We're just talking about the tribulation. Is Jesus going to come before the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation whenever Jesus comes down? There's even people that have a mid-tribulation belief. We're not talking about today. But if you believe the Bible, the no rapture theory, the no rapture position is out of the question. I mean, how could anybody get anything else out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16? How could anybody get anything else out of that except that he's going to come in the air and we're going to be caught up together with him? See, how could anybody get anything else out of that if you believe the Bible? But as I told you before, there's a lot of preachers now, they have abandoned the pre-tribulation position and now they're teaching that Christians have to go through the tribulation, which means if Jesus doesn't come until the end of the tribulation period, that means if you're young enough, that means you're going to go through the tribulation periods. See, if I'm wrong and if we have been taught wrong, then you're going to have to go through the tribulation. See, as I told you, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to teach the truth. I just want to preach the truth. Bible says 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to rightly divide the truth. I want to make proper divisions in the Bible. But what would you do? What would you do if you have to go through the tribulation period? Let me ask you all a question. Would you take the mark of the beast? Would you take the mark of the beast? Bible says that you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. I'll go over here to, here's what will happen to somebody. Revelation chapter number 14 and verse number 9, 10, and 11. Here's what will happen to someone who takes the mark of the beast. It says, and the third angel sounded, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, see, the mark of the beast, see, in the forehead, in the hand. I believe it's the right hand. It says in it. Now, all the new Bibles have changed that to on it, but it says in it. You receive a mark in your forehead or in your hand, in your right hand. Some kind of, I don't know, is it a chip? Some kind of a chip that goes in there under the skin, in here. You go into a supermarket. You go over here to what's the name of the big store back over here? Super Save. It used to be Super Save. It's Farmer's Market now. You go into Farmer's Market, and when you go in, there's a scanner up there, and it takes that, gets all your information off that. You go in there, and you just pick out all the stuff that you want, put it in a buggy, and you walk out, and it pays for it automatically, see. Now, if you don't have that mark, if you don't have that chip, then you can't buy or sell. You know what you have to do? You're going to go out and scrounge in the back. You're going to go out and look in the dumpster back there, and you're going to be scrounging back there, and your kids are going to get hungry. You're going to take the mark of the beast? A lot of people would say, oh, not me. I would never take the mark of the beast, but they can't even come to church. You mean to tell me they won't take the mark of the beast when they can't even come to church? They can't make it to church on Sunday night. They can't make it to church on Wednesday night. They don't give anything. They're not going to do anything, and they won't take the mark of the beast? He says right here, in verse number 9, if they receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, verse number 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Now look here, folks. You cannot lose your salvation in this age today. But if we were wrong, then they would lose it then and they would go to hell. He says there in verse number 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Over here in chapter number, the end of this, turn the page back to the left there. Chapter 13, and verse number 16, and he causeth all, who is he, it's the false prophet, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom in verse number 18. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, not of man, but a man, a particular man. And his number is 600, 666, 666. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. This is found in verse number 18. 3 times 6. 666. If a person doesn't have that mark, I'm talking about the world over. I'm talking about everybody on every continent, in every city, has to have the mark of the beast, because there is one man and he has a false prophet that promotes him. You read about that there. And they must have these things because there will be a worldwide government, a worldwide religion, all of that kind of stuff. So you've got to have that. You can't buy or sell. Somebody says, oh, not me. I love God and I wouldn't dare take the mark of the beast. If we're wrong, if I'm wrong, and you're going to go through the tribulation period and they're not going to take the mark of the beast and they can't even come to church, And they're going to sit there and say, oh, not me. I wouldn't take the mark of the beast. They don't give anything. They don't do anything. They never read the Bible. But no, they wouldn't take the mark of the beast. They'll take the mark of the beast. When they get hungry, they'll take the mark of the beast. They'll take it, you see. But if I'm right, my position, what I believe, is that that Jesus will come and the rapture will occur before the great tribulation. That's my position. But it's not enough to say, well, that's what I've always been taught. That's not enough for you either. We have to know, what does God say? What does the Bible say about that? Because that's the final authority right there. Not just because somebody told me. Not just because it sounds better. Not just because I don't want to go through the tribulation. That's not good enough. You see. I mean, Job, he's having a lot of trouble. God didn't spare him, and he's a good man. He's the best man alive on earth at that time, and God didn't spare him. You see. So it's not enough just to say that's all I've always been taught. What does God say? What does the Bible say? Well, people say here, let me see where I'm at here. I was going to tell you, I have several points to point out that the pre-tribulation period is, I believe that it is right scripturally. I told you a while ago there are several raptures in the Bible. It's not a strange thing for somebody to be caught up alive. Now, it's strange, I said, for people out there that don't know anything about the Bible. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe any of that stuff. Strange to them, yes, of course. Let me see if I can remember them. Six raptures in the Bible. Number one is a guy by the name of Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 24, the Bible says there that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What does it mean when it says he was not, for God took him? That means he was not on the earth anymore. If you look over sometime in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5, it says this: by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. See, that's what it means back over there. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He goes on to say in verse number 6, Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. See, that's Enoch. That's number one. Number two is Elijah. Elijah was taken up. Now, he's a little bit different. He went up by a whirlwind. That's number two. Number three, I believe, is Jesus. Jesus was taken up in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 9, 10, and 11. Jesus was taken up. He ascended up into the clouds under his own power. See, that's similar. In other words, he's alive down here, and he went up alive. He didn't have to die. Of course, he's already died on the cross. He's never going to die again. That's number three. Number four is us, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, there that we read the scripture there. That's number four. Number five is found in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. That's number five. That's where John, the Apostle John, the writer of Revelation, he said, I saw heaven opened, and he went up. And then God showed him things up in heaven. Number six is found in Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 12. And there, the Bible says that a group of people were told, come up hither, and they ascended up. That's Moses and Elijah. I believe that is tribulation saints are raptured right at the coming of Jesus Christ, you see. That's six of them. Six raptures. There could be another that I've forgotten. I don't think so. I think that's all of them. See, it's not a strange thing for let me give you some points here before I run out of time. Listen carefully. Don't turn me off. Number one here. Yeah, it's number two in my writings here. Number two, there is not one scripture in the Bible that tells any Christian to watch or to look for the Antichrist. Do you know, anybody know a scripture in the Bible that tells you watch out for the Antichrist? Is that in the Bible? No, what is it? Instead of that, it says this. It says looking for that blessed hope. You're supposed to look for Jesus. Look for him. See, that's what it says. Number two. The second coming is given in Matthew 24, 31, and we're going to look there in just a little bit. It's given also in Mark chapter 13 and verse and Luke chapter 21. And we're going to have to look there now. Go in your Bibles, look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 30 and 31. Now people that teach a post-tribulation rapture, look here. They say that this is the rapture right here. They say that this is the rapture. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, verse number 31, and then shall all tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels. First off, I told you about the term Son of Man. The Son of Man is a Jewish term used in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, see? When the Apostle Paul used it in the church epistles, he used the term Son of God. Look again in verse number 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes. Everybody stop for a minute. Tribes. When you see the word tribes in the Bible, what do you think of? Those of you that know something about the Bible. What do you think of? You think of the 12 tribes of what? Israel. So who could he possibly be talking about here? The tribes. Then shall the tribes. I'm trying to get you to see who he's talking to and about here. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now clearly, this is the second advent of Jesus Christ. This is it right here. But the thing is, does the rapture occur right here? Or has it already occurred 7 years before? And we're just coming back with him? That's the question. Now that's what I believe. Look at verse number 31. And he shall send his angels, plural. He doesn't see the voice, the trump of God, and you know the voice of the archangel. That's not what he says. Angels. Over there in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it's one angel, the archangel. He shall send forth his angel with a great sound of a trumpet. There's a trumpet, all right. And they shall gather together his elect. Who would his elect be? We're not over here in a church epistle where the elect could be the saved people, saved Christians. We're over here in a very Jewish book. Matthew, it's a Jewish book, and I'll show you in a minute. Elect. If you were to take your Bible and you looked up these three scriptures, Isaiah 45 and verse 4, Isaiah 65 and verse 9, Isaiah 65 and verse 22, all three of those calls the nation of Israel, the Jews, his elect. He says there he's going to send forth his angels, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Does it say four winds or four corners? The four winds. Now, what would that be, the four winds? Every direction. He's going to gather them together. It doesn't say anything about them going back up. Now, it said over there for us, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we'd be caught up together with them in the clouds. Why? Because we're going to keep on going, you see. But here they're gathered together with him right there on the earth. That's what it looks to me like. You tell me if I'm crazy. Gathered together. Look here. We got a few minutes here. I won't be much longer. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. I'm going to read down through chapter, beginning in verse number 1, and I'll make a few comments as we go along. And you tell me. I want you to remember one thing as we read. Matthew, there is no Gentile church. There is no Christian church in the book of Matthew. It's a Jewish book. He is a Jew dealing with his Jewish disciples. The church has not, there's a church there. There's a following that Jesus had, but not like a New Testament church. There are no church epistles written here. as far as I'm concerned, I've never heard anybody else say this, but this is what I think. The rapture is a mystery and it has not been revealed yet at this point in time. Y'all see that? Does that make sense to everybody? Matthew 24, verse 1, Jesus went out. Jesus is a Jew and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Well, it's a Jewish temple, isn't it, in Jerusalem? Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." That happened. He's giving a prophecy there in 70 A.D. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples, that's 12 Jewish disciples, came unto him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, all of these things, we can apply them to everybody now, but he's talking to his 12 disciples there. "For many shall come." See, what he's going to do, he's going to start here, and he's going to take them down like through a picture, down through the ages of time, down to our time here, and on out past us, on out into the future. Some of these things can be applied to everybody, Gentiles and Jews, everybody, and some can only be applied to the Jews. I'll show you. Let's go on in verse number 6. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Now look, can that be applied to us today? Of course. Wars and rumors of wars all the time. "See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." See, that can be applied to everybody. "There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places." See, anybody. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." Look here. If I was going to put a rapture in there somewhere, that's where I'd put it, right there. That's where I'd put it, right there. It doesn't say it, though. It's not in there. It's not in there. Why? Hadn't been revealed yet. Verse number 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted." Well, that could be applied to Christians some, see. But it's also, especially the Jews, "and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another," shall hate one another. Verse number 11, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Verse number 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." He's not talking about the end of your life where your soul is saved. He's talking about the end of a period of time where your flesh is going to be saved. When he comes, he's going to rescue you. Verse number 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Verse number 15, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." That right there, that's in the middle of the tribulation where the Antichrist comes and he goes into the temple and proclaims himself to be God. That's what that abomination of desolation is. Verse number 16, look at verse number 16, "And then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Now tell me, folks, who lives in Judea? What kind of people live there? A bunch of Gentiles live over there? No. No, it's Jews. "Let them which be in Judea flee." When this happens, you folks, you Jews, you're going to have to run for your life. So all down through here, who's he talking to? Jews. It's a Jewish book. It's a Jewish thing. He's talking to them. We're not Jews. Spiritually, we are. But that's all. Verse 17, "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Stop again. Tell me, folks, who is it that still keeps the Sabbath? You go over there on Saturday in the land of Israel, they will be keeping the Sabbath over there. You know why? Because they're not Christians. He said, "Pray ye that your flight be not in..." If I would stand here and be really literal this morning, you know what I would tell you that verse means? It says, don't book a flight out of Israel on the Sabbath day because the airport's closed. That's what that means. Don't book a flight out of Israel on the Sabbath day because the airport is closed. No flights going out. Verse number 21, for then shall be what? Great tribulation. That tells you right there what period of time he's talking about here. He's talking about in the great tribulation. That's what this is talking about here. And he's talking about the Jews. They're unsaved. Therefore, they will go through the great tribulation. But he's not talking about Christians here. Do you see anybody in here see any Christians in this thing? Do you see any church in there? Do you see any Christian church in there? No, you don't see that, do you? You don't see that. Verse 22, except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved but for the elect's sake. And who did we say the elect are? The Jews. Three times the word elect is used in here. Three times. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. He goes on down through there. I read you verse number 29, 30, and 31. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Could I tell you just one last thing here? One last thing. In the Bible, there are what are called types or similitudes. In other words, he shows you this and he says, this is similar to this over here. I gave you six raptures from the Bible. Six of them. The first one is a man by the name of Enoch. He's found in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 24. The Bible says there that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And we talked about that. He never had to die. Tell me, folks, what could God possibly be telling us by putting a man by the name of Enoch in there who never died, who was caught up to heaven, and listen carefully, he was caught out before the flood. The flood could be a picture of the tribulation period where everybody died on earth. And he took that man out and he translated him from earth to heaven before the flood came upon the earth. All the other people died and perished. What could God possibly be teaching us from that similitude, from that type there? Wouldn't you think, doesn't it make common sense that he's saying that's going to happen again to a bunch of Christians before the great tribulation? There's another man in the Bible, his name is Lot. He lived in the city of Sodom. God was going to destroy the city. You read it in Genesis chapter 19. In chapter 18, Abraham, his uncle, prayed, God, that you would deliver Lot out. If you can find at least 10 people, if you can find it, 50 and then 40 and then 40, 30 and then down to 10. If you can find that many righteous people there, because God, he said, it just doesn't seem right that you would punish the righteous along with the wicked. And you know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19, that God took that man out, and God, those angels came and they said, Lot, come on out. Lot said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. He said all kinds of stuff there. And he said, I want to go to this city over here. There's not a rapture there. I mean, it's just a picture there. But that angel told him, see, look here, you got to get out. I cannot send anything until you get out. I cannot send the fire and brimstone from heaven until you get out. He didn't go through that, is what I'm telling you. What's God trying to teach us? There's other things that we don't have time to go through. Scripture. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16 is definitely, without a question, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and there is no rapture or catching away anywhere in there. Anyway, that's several things. There's a few others. I hope that's a help to you.